Hello, grandkids, and welcome to Stunt Granny Audio 1191. This is Kevin DeFranco. On the other end is Chris Calamita. What is up, good sir?
Not a heck of a lot, Kevin. How about yourself?
Oh, just a another fine holiday weekend, traveling about, watching the my beloved Pittsburgh Pirates actually win a game. So that was nice. 1-0. Not the most exciting, but I'll tell you what, when you get out of the ballpark in 2.5 hours, that's saying something. That game
Yeah,
moved
not all these
along.
games. Oh yeah, that pitch clock rule is fantastic for traffic. But
Yes, I will say that too. I started experiencing that earlier in minor leagues that I attend around here, and I'm like, I really like this thing. Like, let's go. You could just tell that like it chops off like a half hour. It's just like, yeah, I am pro chopping off a half hour of this chicanery here. Oh man, but I somehow managed to pack in all of the weekend's wrestling, at least the WWE content. I will admit that Collision just really took a back seat this week more than most. Given that the WWE had SmackDown, Sunday night's main event, and Raw all within our purview here, on SmackDown, we were still in the fine city of Cleveland, Ohio. And boy, I feel like you could tell.
oh, we could tell. These have been, it's going to be a trend in this, in th throughout this show that these crowds are not good lately. And Cleveland was probably the worst of them all.
Yeah, I was unsurprised. I feel like Cleveland has their duds in the crowd department, and this one was on the list. Getting double dosed, I'm not sure how much that helped or did not help. It also
Probably did
did
not
seem
help, no.
like they did seem to keep things kind of concise, and it does at least help that SmackDown is only a 2-hour product at this point.
That does help. That has helped a lot, yes.
It would have been really rough for that Cleveland crowd if they had gotten a 3rd hour of
Oh
SmackDown.
dear. Yeah,
Yeah,
no, that would not have been good, no.
that would have been unnecessary at best.
Yeah.
Yeah, SmackDown, not really a whole lot from SmackDown making it to Sunday night's main event. There was some stuff, but not the main event scene for sure here. And Gunther is the first one in the ring. He is looking for Sami Zayn. Sami Zayn appears and obliges. And then, of course, what? Kevin Owens showed up at some point here, right? Oh,
Yes,
yes.
Kevin Owens shows up
Finn Balor
because I
shows
should.
up, of
Yes,
course.
everyone's after Sami Zayn. It's an all out brawl.
Yeah, it was a fun way to start SmackDown. Wasn't a whole lot going on to the segment, really.
No, not really.
Other than, like you said, the unified theme of nobody likes Sammy at the current moment because he's pretty much screwed all of them over in one way or another at this juncture. And CM Punk is watching all of this go down, and he comes up to a comatose Johnny Gargano. And offers him a championship match, just despite Sami Zayn, honestly, more than anything. And Johnny Gargano finally picks himself off the travel cases and accepts the challenge. And there we go. We've got our main event all within the first 15 minutes of our television program here.
Very efficient for first segment, yes.
Yeah, we got that going on. And then for even though the at-home crowd knew that it was going to be Charlotte Flair and Tatum Paxley taking on Fallon Henley and Lainey Reid, for some reason Charlotte Flair was unaware of this happening
Yeah, that's a.
until she nearly hit
Yeah, that
the
was that that. Yeah, that was an inconsistency. That seemed to be a screw up.
Oh, so yeah, all you need to do is do the earlier today. Just slap an earlier today logo right up on there, and
Yeah.
all the problems are solved. Of course, why would Charlotte be in her ring gear the day before? I don't know. Sometimes wrestlers just are around in their ring gear. It
Yeah,
happens.
they do all the time. Randy Orton didn't wear pants for like 10 years.
Oh yeah, I miss those days. That was a good running joke. Anywho, despite the gaffe here, we do get the match up here with Tatum and Charlotte taking on Fallon and Lainey. And much to no one's surprise here, Charlotte Flair and Tatum Paxley get the W here. Almost surely ensuring another championship match, I would think that was part of the goal ahead of this.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah,
And
seems like we're gonna get a championship match in the coming weeks.
yeah, and hey, I don't know if that's a way. It would be kind of interesting if they had Alexa and Tatum be the tag team champions and Charlotte still in their faction, but going for a singles championship. I don't know what they call themselves. I don't have any ideas like that, but I'm just throwing it out there into the universe, sir.
Yeah, no. That could be where we're headed, but it does seem like Charlotte and Tatum won this non-title match, so that's the team that should be in line.
As usual, women's tag team division, that is about as deep as it
Yeah, pretty much.
gets. Oh, geez. I'm not sure how to describe Nikki Bella and Paige as a segment here. It's one of those things that I'm not enjoying this.
No, it feels like Vince Russo TNA women's feuds and having to make sexual references. Yeah, it's not. It's not good. It's not good at all. Almost nothing about this Nikki Bella return has worked. Paige got one moment, and then it's just she's Paige. It's just it. This isn't. And to put the two. For the two of them in Mexico City. I know every match doesn't necessarily have to be catered to the Mexican audience to have a lucha flavor. But this is a terrible match to put in front of that crowd.
It will be an interesting choice on that card. It definitely sticks out more than others
Yeah.
for not the best reasons.
No.
It still feels like no one really wants to boo the Bellas for the most part, and I don't. Paige as a baby face has never really struck me that well, even when she was, in her prime. It
Yeah.
felt like the heeldom worked better for her.
This is gonna feel like a 2010 SmackDown women's match, and it's just not. the direction we should be going.
Yeah, so that is definitely gonna be rough. Danhausen continues to be Gunnar's boy
This is great.
after one Gunther tries to get under Nick Aldis's skin.
Yeah.
Yes, the continued interaction between these two is
Yes.
a thumbs up as
And
far
I'm
as I'm
telling you
concerned.
right now, this should not end in a match between them. This should, it's, Danhausen shouldn't be actively trying to screw with Gunther. He should really believe that he is his friend. And then
No.
in the swerve, Gunther actually eventually starts taking a liking to Danhausen, and that's how we get babyface Gunther for the first time. That is how this should go.
That would be pretty wild. I think if you really wanted to make the pivot, that sounds like a pitch to me. That sounds like a pitch to me. A Gunther Danhausen, weird duo. I mean, they love odd couples in the WWE.
Yes,
Let's
they do.
switch this one into existence here. Is a full-time thing. Well, Chelsea Green got some good news on SmackDown here. Partially medically cleared,
Yes.
as long as she wears her face mask.
Yeah.
But then yet again, poor Tiffy time, Tiffany Stratton. I don't even know what to term this at this point.
It's what they do.
She.
It's what they do when it's what they do before they're getting ready to turn someone heel.
Uh-oh. So, yeah, I guess that works for Tiffy time,
Yeah.
to turn her heel, because oh boy,
She's dead.
yeah,
She's always been dead in the
this
water as a
loss
baby
is
face, though.
another one.
Yeah. She's never made a good baby face. This was always a terrible idea. It's going on 2 years of this too.
Yeah, I mean, you get a little bit of the Tiffy time chance. She's just never really regained any type of momentum. Like, I feel like she's been back for months now, and
She's,
I
yeah.
keep on feeling like, oh, this is going to be the feud that gets her kind of back into that echelon, and it keeps on not happening and not happening and not happening, and I keep on being kind of surprised, honestly. But yeah, turning heel could be the best thing for her through all of this.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's absolutely the best. Although, I really don't want it to be at the expense of Chelsea Green losing the title.
Yeah, unfortunately, that is that I would imagine that's the road that they would end up taking if that's the
Yeah.
situation. 'Cause I do not think that despite Tiffany's loss here to Nia Jax, I do not anticipate a Chelsea Green loss to Nia Jax, just because I mean, everyone beats Nia Jax.
Yeah. I mean, it's she's supposed to be imposing out, and she is, and
Yeah.
it's a good thing to do a title match on SmackDown. It's all fine. Chelsea at least gets one successful title defense, televised title defense, under her belt.
Oh.
It depending on how quickly
Well, yeah.
the gears are turning to get this thing off of her.
That's going to be the interesting part. Like, I don't think one way or the other that Naya is going to be the one to do it.
No, I won't. No, it's not going to be. It shouldn't be Nia. I hope it's not Nia. But we are in a situation where Chelsea is 100% a babyface at this point. So it being her versus Rhea Ripley, that doesn't make sense. So if
Oh.
we're getting Rhea Ripley instantly back in the title picture, although we have, what was the last update on Rhea Ripley?
Well, she posted on her Instagram. It looked like she was working out, but she had the surgically repaired leg still in a cast of some nature. And it was straight out. It did not look like it was doing any work whatsoever.
Okay.
So,
Okay. Hopes point towards a potential comeback around Royal Rumble. Okay, that makes sense. I don't think it's going to be anytime too soon.
So we've at least got 3 months of no Rhea Ripley here. So
Yeah.
yeah, that's it's interesting that it could be one of those things where they do let Chelsea run with the championship here for a longer time period. They are. Knowing that Rhea's out for that long, I feel like you're in a different spot than when you first made this interim championship that
Yeah.
is now not an interim championship.
Right. No. And they didn't even make any kind of announcement. They just dropped the interim. And then went into a panic when Chelsea got hurt.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm okay. It seems like they've done a pretty decent job of pivoting to turn this into a story.
Yeah.
Yep. That stuff's all good and covered. Corey Graves gets the rare sit-down interview with Cody Rhodes. Mr. Graves barely gets into this interview when Randy Orton arrives to antagonize Cody Rhodes, and am I going to assume that Randy Orton had insider information on Pharaoh's health status that he
Yeah, it seems like
used
it.
on TV?
I know. I know Cody's gonna be old school and he's gonna think anything's fair game. But yeah, this whole saga has been incredibly strange and uncomfortable. To find out today the dog has died, or it sounds like it was a situation where he'd been ill for a while and was put down today and had been put down either today or whenever, yesterday or whenever, but. Yeah, just again, I know Cody's old school. I know they're really friends. It's just a weird direction to take this thing if this dog really was, nearing the end, and everyone knew that.
It's a strange one to include, especially since, I mean, this is the second promo that Orton brought it up. And I mean, he specifically was just like, oh, no. Oh, he's just on death's door. And I'm like, I mean, that is oddly specific, sir. Just reiterating the dog's death would probably be enough, but I mean, I'm like, you're getting a little too on the
Well, because
nose
too many
here.
people, well, because too many people did their own investigating to find out that the Pharaoh really wasn't dead. And then the poor dog dies less than a week later.
Jeez, just a rough pub for Pharaoh at the end there. Because I mean, it's kind of been a while. Like, he's been at least retired for a year or something of that
Yeah, it's
nature.
been a couple of years since he. This is the last time he
So,
brought prayer to anything. Yeah.
always tough as a perennial pet holder. That situation is never easy.
No.
So,
No, it's not.
good luck to the Rhodes family. That one always sticks with you. That one always sticks with you. So, they just well, this was one of the few things that this promo did hype something that was on Sunday night's main event. And I guess that was really the point. Cody just really saying, "Hey, Randy, we're scheduled to fight tomorrow. I'll get you tomorrow." And just walks out of the room very determined and pissed off.
Yeah.
So, do like what they did there to do some additional hype. Oh my gosh. There were so many things the last week of programming. I felt like there were so many people that sat in the ring as commercials happened and as other segments happened. It felt like The Miz and Kit Wilson were in the ring for roughly 3 hours.
Yeah.
As Bakuzi, which is Shinsuke Nakamura and Kiyoki, got a backstage segment before they came out with a somewhat lengthy entrance. And then they finally had a match against each other.
Yeah.
And,
And to the surprise of no one. Because what is it again? Who's that?
Bakusi?
Bakuzi?
Bakusai. I think it's Bakusi. I could be wrong on
Because
that.
yeah.
I am no
Of course
Japanese
they won.
expert.
Right. Of course they won.
Yeah.
Nothing much really to say about this. It was just, debut of a new team.
Yeah. New team, they will quickly climb the ladder because, much like the women's division, the men's division is not terribly deep either. Kind of forgot that the War Raiders were going to be challenged by Damian Priest and R-Truth, to be quite frank about
Yeah.
you. So that's good enough for me. I don't like this weird perpetual cycle that Blake Monroe and Julia are on at the current moment.
No, they have absolutely dropped the ball with Blake Monroe.
Yeah, I'm not quite sure why you call her up if. It feels like they've had a number of the appearances have been limited for whatever reason. They took their time debuting her to start with. So it's just like, why has this been infrequent? Why is this now kind of an even feud? It feels like they had lost faith in Julia, but this week
Oh,
you're just
definitely.
going,
Yeah.
has something changed here? Is this just
No,
storytelling 101?
for whatever reason, they want to drag this out, and I'm really not sure why.
I really just think Blake should really beat the hell out of her and be done with it. So yeah, this whole can't decide what we're gonna do is pretty weird. And yeah, we then do get the main event, Johnny Wrestling back in the house in Cleveland. The crowd did show up for him, so good on them, I suppose.
Yeah.
But no surprise to anyone, even with some outside happenings here, CM Punk ends up winning. And really, just everyone that is involved in the main event scene came down, but because none of them really interfered, they
Yeah,
more
no,
fought
not
each
even.
other than they did
Yeah.
interfere. I mean, I suppose Sami Zayn was the closest to interfering. But still, everyone pretty much beat everyone else up. Punk wins, and we're really loading up for Mexico City
Yeah, we definitely are.
here. Both because they're both SmackDown and Raw, they're both there. They're two different shows though, right?
Yeah, they're two different shows, yes. They're both
Okay.
live, yeah.
So, yeah, they're really stacking these Mexico City cards as much as they can.
Yeah, they
And
are definitely.
giving advance warning of a CM Punk match to me on that list, especially when it's against Sami Zayn.
Yeah. I mean, I thought they were gonna go. I thought they were gonna run with the five way. Just do that in Mexico City. Then just it's then Punk and
Oh.
Sammy one on one, because I could just wonder when they'll do the five way, because putting another multiple person match on Money in the Bank doesn't seem to make much sense.
Not really the place for that type of match,
And
since you,
then the
like
next
you said,
PLE
already
after,
have a
and then the next PLE after that
multi-person
is
match
Crown,
built in.
right? And then the next PLE after that is Crown Jewel, which is champion versus champion. At this point, presumably they're gonna run. They'll do the WrestleMania rematch with Reigns and Punk there.
Oh. Yeah, unless they change something between
Yeah.
then and now.
Yeah, that's.
That should be the case.
Yeah, so I guess, yeah, so I'm not totally sure when the seemingly inevitable five way happens, unless it's not an inevitable five way. He's just gonna keep wrestling them one by one, and they gotta figure out how to keep the peace in these matches.
Yeah, it's gonna be weird. What's gonna end up happening here? I that was only the one only thing I was thinking about with Zayn getting his championship match. I'm like, oh, is this at least one way to get one person out of this matchup and at least only make it a four way?
Yeah, I guess you could do that. I guess that's possible.
Yeah, that's that will be kind of interesting there to see how they go, just because a lot of people involved, and yeah, everyone's gonna get singles matches at some point. It just depends upon when that point is, because that's a lot of people to be involved in, a lot of separate singles matches that can be done
Yeah.
with that lot of names. We finally, Chris, make it out of pre-tape land for Sunday night's main event here, live from Atlanta, Georgia. I was unaware of who this Quavo gentleman was,
Yeah, I don't think a lot of people are.
am not going to be looking his stuff up after that
I
performance.
didn't even I just muted the TV. I was like, nope, this isn't for me. And speaking of other things that aren't for me, our first match was Lil Yachty, who's, the whole reason they've done this is because they expected Lil Yachty to get this great hometown reaction, this great homecoming, and it's his entrance just did not score highly on that on that noise meter they use at all.
No, it was not a bad response, but also not what you were hoping for, I would imagine.
Yeah.
And this was, I do think this was made clear on SmackDown that Trick
Yeah.
Williams was going to get the matchup directly after that.
Yes. Yeah.
So,
It was definitely
since
made by SmackDown. It was finally made. It was finally made clear. Yes, on television. And they did the 5-minute challenge. I didn't quite get the rules of it because I'm not sure why Yachty was allowed to use a kendo stick, or why a table was
yeah.
brought was to be set up and used, and well,
Why
table
his
didn't get set up until
entourage could be in involved and.
right, the entourage getting involved. They padded this thing with so much filler. And again, Baron Corbin, again, we've said it over and over again, bringing him back. This is they just needed someone to play this role, essentially, is what it feels like. They needed someone to beat Trick, so Trick can just win it back a month later.
Yeah, oh.
And They this this the way this thing was laid out did not do him any favors. He hits his finish that has, I think, what, only been kicked out of by like one or two people in the last like 10 plus years on this non-wrestler. He refuses to go for the pin as he knows time is ticking away. And of course, the time ticks down because he gets he got too cute with it. And then he loses. He and Yadi survives. Trickup comes down immediately. They have their match. It's, I guess, a better match than than their previous two matches, but that's also not saying a lot. And it ends with Trick winning the United States Championship back. There's just it.
It was real vehicle to get the championship back for Trick here.
Yeah, I think they expected this Yachty wrestling thing, especially in Atlanta, to be a way bigger deal than it was, and it wasn't. He's just not that famous in the real world to pull this off.
And I've you know, we've talked about it a lot with a lot of these other celebrities. For whatever
Oh, we'll get to a
reason,
celebrity
they
again, yeah.
have, well, I mean, for the most part, the celebrities that have been in a match situation have really bought in recently. You know,
Right,
like
yes.
we didn't go through the laundry list again of, you know, like the Bad Bunnies and Johnny Knoxville and like everyone else that is just like, no, we get it. We know what we're doing here. And Lil Yachty, despite the fact that the man has been on wrestling television for I don't know how many months straight at this point,
Feels like
it
it's
felt
gone 6 months. It's been a long. This is insane. This is insane. It's like, well, does this man have a real job anymore? Yeah, it's to that point.
It's kind of like Logan Paul. I'm like, I mean, does this guy just take his job off? What was I trying to get at there?
It's just he's being presented as almost too much of a too not
Oh,
serious.
the no, that I guess that's what I was getting to is that like it he'd yeah, like. It, 'cause that's one of those things I guess I forgot to talk about from SmackDown is that
Oh yeah,
Little
the
Yachty's
video.
like, oh, I'm ready for the matchup, and he's just making a video making fun of Baron, a rap making fun of Baron Corbin, and you know, like Little Yachty did not take bumps to you know, for this appearance. You know what I mean? Like he wasn't training in the WWE rings down in Florida. It did not seem like before this. I'm
No,
sure that he
he
did some
was.
training, but like it's weird to say like I expect more out of celebrities now in the WWE than what he was able to deliver.
He was very sack of shit in how he was taking bumps.
He just seemed like he was letting his body just land as it may.
Yeah.
God bless being younger. Because you can put up with that kind of stuff. But oh boy. So yeah, that ends up happening there. Congratulations, Trick Williams, you new United States champion. Next up, the future of the WWE was to be determined between Oba Femi and Bron Breakker, in what had been kind of a not surprise, but still a surprise. Bronson Reed makes a reappearance to make I was just about ready to call them Evolve, the Vision, whole again, I suppose. And as a whole unit, they beat down Oba Femi
Yes.
I believe a DQ finish, if I'm not
Yeah.
mistaken.
What was about ready to probably hit Braun with the power bomb, and then Reed hit him with the chair. They beat the hell out of him. The new 100-pound less tsunami debuted, along with multiple spears.
He is still a large gentleman.
Still a large gentleman. I don't know if it necessarily has the same impact as it used to, but he's, yes, as you said, he's still a large gentleman. And he also had two very ser he dealt with two very serious injury situations in a very short time. So if he felt like he needed to do something different with his body, I completely understand. Although you'd think being leaner actually makes it you more prone to injury than having any kind of, than having some soft padding on your midsection and your back.
I guess we shall see here.
Yeah.
If he can stay on the roster for more than a calendared year, I suppose we will get our answer.
Right.
Because he has definitely not had a whole lot of luck in that department.
No.
This match never got off the ground. So there isn't really a lot to talk about the match itself. I
No.
feel like you could tell that the interference was like the WWE especially seems to book matches certain ways that you just know the interference is coming
Yeah.
and they're trying not to waste
Oh,
certain
right.
material
Yeah.
in the match.
Yeah. I hope this isn't the best that Oba and Brian are capable of. Because this was this was yeah, this match was definitely missing something.
I was not surprised to see that one happen. Next up in the match department here, Alexa Bliss, Charlotte Flair, and Tatum Paxley took on Jade Cargill, B-Fab, and Mee Chin. I've got to admit, I was a little bit surprised to see Charlotte Flair taking a pin from Jade Cargill in this one. I'm not quite sure why. I suppose I expected B-Fab or Mee Chin to be eating this loss for some reason.
Yeah, no, that's I guess that part of wrestling nowadays. It's like this trio of Flair, Bliss, and Paxley really only get like three wins before they have to eat a loss for the first time. But then again, Jade and her crew
No.
have been doing nothing but eating losses, so
Oh.
it's probably get one back up. And create a little, maybe create a little dissension amongst the babyface trio, in particular as it relates to Charlotte Flair's acceptance of Tatum Paxley,
Oh.
while they also have to prepare for a seemingly inevitable tag team championship challenge together.
Yeah, there is quite the tangled web going on here.
I mean, and I know we've been doing this Charlotte Alexa thing for over a year. I still don't think it's enough time has passed for Charlotte to go back to doing the turning heel and going, "I'm the queen." I don't know if any amount of time will ever be able to pass to see Charlotte, regress like that, because she has progressed so much as a personality and as a character since this teaming.
I feel like there's a way to get her away from them if you want to do that without going that route.
I just wonder if there's a way to get her back to heel status and not fall back on the old tropes.
That's we can only hope if that ends up happening. But I would imagine with Jade Cargill still as an opponent, she does not have to worry about that, at least for a couple of months here.
No, it doesn't seem like it.
So, So yeah, they can sort the other stuff out later. Main event time. Cody Rhodes takes on Randy Orton here. And boy, howdy, there was a ton of chicanery in this matchup, sir.
There was a lot of chicanery. Yes, it started early with the old bell hasn't rung, so the match hasn't begun started, so they can just brawl over the building and hit each other with garbage cans. And then get back to the ring. The match starts. We get one massive ref bump. We get, Cody losing control, and again, yet again, we tease Cody going to the dark side. Only for him to pull back yet again and hesitate and do that, do all those facial expressions and putting his hand to his face and looking at God and looking at his wife and trying to figure out should he do this or not. Not my favorite aspect of anything, really. But ultimately, after way too long to get a second referee in here, we finally get.
Yeah, it felt like it took 3 years. The
Yeah,
match was
was Aldis
only
watching this? Was Pierce watching this with
18.
somebody? Yeah. Because
Yeah,
Charles Robinson
really
had to
could have
take a
gotten
second
that
bump
second.
before it.
Oh yeah, poor Charles, man. He had a rough night, two bumps.
Yeah, he always has
And that first
rough
one
nights, but he
was
loves this shit. But you know he loves it. He loves still
oh,
doing this.
his body's got to be hurting. Got to be hurting. That man is not a spring chicken. I'm sure
No, no,
he's doing
no.
it for the love of the game, but
But as Cody hesitates and is reluctant to hit the final blow on Randy Orton, we get the old nut shot to both Cody and the referee and the new referee before Randy hits the RKO, and then Charles Robinson finally gets back in the ring to count the three as Randy Orton gets the Duke here.
Oh man. Yeah, like I said, a whole lot of chicanery in this matchup. And it's one of those not surprised. Like it feels like at some point Cody Rhodes is gonna get comeuppance on Randy Orton. It just was not meant for Sunday night's main event here.
Yeah, no, I'm not, again, the Paul Heyman tease several weeks back didn't pay off here. Will it? Will we? Will we ever? Will we get heel Cody? I don't know. It just feels like it feels like we've been doing this for a very long time now. These teases of Cody going to the dark side, only for him to pull back.
Yeah, they keep on going up to the precipice and going, nah, let's not. I don't even think John Cena ever really came this close to going to the dark side. Like they have really teased out this happening for Cody. It feels like it'd be a good thing to do, honestly.
Yeah, it does. It does feel like it, and no one wants to boo Randy Orton, so it's just like it's just let's just align things the way that they should.
Yeah, it's been just the problem with this thing from the beginning. People still don't want to cheer or boo Randy Orton. We have talked about his grandfather cheering status for a couple of years, I would imagine at this point. So, just a tough sell there. Let's turn Cody heel. So, on to Raw then, sir.
Yep, on to
Moving on
Raw.
along here. This one heading to us from Birmingham, Alabama. We have gotten a lot of Joe Tessitore here.
We do have a lot of Joe Testor, and it is that time of year where they haven't made a made a grand announcement about it, but this is that time where we do the great announcer switch through January. But it should be just December or
Yeah, however long the college season is, at least.
the college season, and then he, I don't know if he does play, because I don't think he's on the, he's not an A-team guy, right?
No, he's usually like, I don't know, I'll call it C team, C to D team.
So
Like, it's,
he might, he,
because I definitely hear him and honestly prefer the games he's calling when,
oh, okay.
when
I mean, it's good.
determining what the,
I like Joe Tess.
what to listen to if I don't really care about the matchups themselves. So, but yeah, he was back back on TV here, 'cause like you said, like he I do think that he's gonna be on Monday nights, 'cause I didn't think anything about it for the pre-tape one in Cleveland, but when he also was doing SmackDown this week, it kind of made me chuckle a little bit, and then he pops up on Raw again. Michael Cole really got a break here.
Yeah, he definitely got a re
I
well, the
mean,
previous week he did both
he
shows
deserved
because
one.
they didn't send, because they still treated it like like what someone would do if whoever was there on Monday was there on Monday, whoever was there on Friday was there on Friday. It was not, they
Oh, yeah.
Jackie was
They're
J
just
Jackie did
letting.
both shows. We saw no Kathy that first week, and then the second week we went, it's Chess and Wade Barrett, and we see no and we see no we see no Jackie. It's Kathy. Yes. They kept that that staff normal for a Monday taping and a Friday taping.
Yeah. Yeah, there was that part. The Vision comes out to kick off Raw this week. They are very happy with what they had done the previous night. And then out comes the wet blanket, Akira Tozawa, who announces the return of one Otis, who then challenges Austin Theory.
But not before we got a lot of jokes at the expense of one Mr. Tozawa. That man is not treated serious. It's not here to be taken seriously. Yeah, Theory even suggested that
No.
Maxine just take care of him herself, and she was ready. And Tozawa chickened out.
Yeah, she was not about to back down from Tozawa, and I don't blame her. I really do not blame her.
No, but we do get the. I actually missed the finish of Theory and Otis. Did Theory get win by pinfall, or was it? Or was it?
It was a DQ
It was a
because
DQ. Okay, if I thought.
yeah, Otis was going for the caterpillar, and then the Vision interfered to cause the DQ.
Austin Theory, clearly the weak link of the Vision. That's not even even a question.
Oh man, yeah, I mean that's quite the statement that they're like, sorry pal, we can't even put you over on Otis, who pretty much jobs to everyone despite his massive frame and ridiculous amount of weight that he can push.
But we,
So
in the beatdown on Otis, we get the arrival of Obafemi, who is, did you hear that he has not been medically cleared? Because I don't think anyone ever said it once, because I said it like 50 times.
they could not have driven that point home, and he in no way looked unmedically cleared.
No, he did not. He
No
had a little.
kinesio tape anywhere, or
There
no,
was
did he have a
kinesio.
little
There
bit
was
patch on
kinesio.
his back,
Yeah, there
I
was
think.
kinesio. They're trying to play ribs.
Oh, okay, ribs.
And then he comes in. He gets his licks on Breaker, even Reed, and then What's Austin Theory through a table? Of course. But eventually, but inevitably, is overwhelmed by Breaker and Reed. Takes again. They basically redo the beatdown from Sunday night's main event. Pretty much exactly.
It was a real repeat moment. Should one want to fast forward this
Yeah,
segment available
we need to do this a
for
second
hitting
time.
FF. Same exact beat
In
down.
case you missed the night before.
Yeah, just in case you thought Obafemi had friends, he does not. So he got his ass handed to him for the second straight night. Well, Royce Keyes, Bronco Nema, and Lucian Price are. I've liked the way that they've been presented for the most part. Do like the promos a good bit. It's definitely more to dig into than the Royce Keyes sob story. Thank goodness that is dead and gone.
This he's been good in this role. Still, maybe not the most charismatic leader a group like this could have. But it's working. I mean, the three of them together look incredibly intimidating.
That is three extremely large gentlemen in a group.
And it really is interesting that even in NXT, OTM didn't really stand out to this degree. They were never presented as that serious of a threat to the tag team championships, even in NXT. Yet here now they're flirting with the main event storyline. They are the main event on Monday Night Raw.
Yeah, so they got a segment. The Usos got a segment, and Jacob Fatu trying to tell the Usos what Royce Keyes had in mind. And this was definitely a theme throughout the night. Because I feel like they had more than one segment, two, possibly three, with Jacob trying to talk them down. And then it, to me, seemingly did not have any payoff by the time the main event did come around, which is the Usos come out to the ring. Finally, hoping to help face Royce and the gang, they just decide to torch the Uso travel vehicle.
This vehicle that I'm not sure if we're supposed to believe it's the same vehicle every week. That's insane if it is. I think
That is a lot of mileage they're putting on that thing if it's the same vehicle every week.
I mean, I guess it's no difference than a bus, but why would you drive the same black SUV everywhere? You didn't. Again, it feels like they just wanted to do the visual of a burned out car because they haven't done anything like that in a while. And they worked backwards from there. And it didn't really make a lot of sense why they would care so much if it's a rental. It didn't make sense, like, again, that idea that they're in the ring and it's like there's like this barbed wire fence stopping them from going outside.
And another part of the segment that was weird to me, if all of the men the Keys and OTM beat up, if they had any relevance or connection for me, it would really help. Like, if that was supposed to be the Usos' protective guard and Jacob was just going, see, that's what would have happened. Like, those guys were taken out already. But it doesn't feel like it was even that thought through. Like you said, like
Nah.
they wanted the end result and they didn't care how they got there in a whole lot of ways. A whole
Yeah.
lot of ways.
Yeah, no. It was again, and I think you brought the point in earlier that's just that all this talk of Jacob Fatu, we need to have a plan, and we can't play in there. It all kind of just didn't really go anywhere either. It was just.
Yeah, like he didn't get blamed for, well, like either Jay and Jimmy need to blame him for the car getting torched, or he's got to explain what he was doing. Like, and it's still one of those weird things where just the non-appearance of Roman Reigns in this situation, even through a phone call, is just kind of weird. Especially when your crew keeps on getting it handed to them.
Yeah.
You know, the
No, yeah,
bloodline
definitely.
has really been incompetent since this whole story started.
Yeah, they have.
Oh boy. So yeah, that segment to me went over like a lead balloon. Oh yeah, I kind of forgot. Because I wanted to forget. The WWE loves that Matt Matthews comedian, quote unquote.
Oh,
And
this guy. Ugh. I didn't even watch his promo. I fast forwarded through all of this. I just I mean, when I talk about WWE now just featuring these people who aren't even real world famous, like I know a good percentage of the names of the big influencers and streamers. This guy has never crossed my feed, and my algorithm has not shown me any of this guy's videos. I don't know anything about him. And I know other people feel that way about some of the other people they've used, I'm sure. Like I show speed and and those types, but it's this guy just feels
Yeah.
especially egregious. Like I think I once looked at his Instagram following, and I would at the, when he was on NXT, I'm like, it's only like in the few hundred thousands. Like, it's not even anything impressive
Yeah,
that
I
you'd
feel
want to put
like
him on a show
it.
watched by millions because he brings this because
It
he brings this new audience that he might be able to bring this new audience.
Yeah, I feel like if you want to impress me, I feel like you need to start at 1 million followers at this point, or
Yes, I
else
believe that. Yes, I agree.
you're just not that far up there. So yeah, oof, boy. Yeah, if he's only in the hundreds of thousands department, he's still got some work to do. So yeah, that segment happened. So we can move on. Fresh off of qualifying matches for the right to face Roman Reigns, we get qualifying matches for Money in the Bank. I suppose it's good news that these are now what is traditionally triple threat matches. So it at least makes it a little bit spicier than the Mexico City matchup tournament here.
Yeah.
And first one up, Bron Breakker versus Rey Mysterio versus Ethan Page. Did kind of get a kick out of the fact that Bron Breakker not one to really agree with the Ethan Page way of doing things. It really does fit Braun's personality to definitely not side with someone for any lengthy amount of time.
No, it does not.
So also, much to no one's surprise here, Bron Breakker ends up pinning Ray to move on in the Money in the Bank qualifying match here.
Yeah.
And
Braun winning makes the most sense, yes.
Because this is another one where, the WWE still even seems to be waffling on him. They need to find a way to get the tag team championships off of him
Yes, they do.
because
They really do. But there are
they.
no teams left.
Yeah, and it's really strange just because they are rebuilding him in something of a hurry here.
Yeah, they are.
Braun. So like it's weird that he's stuck with them. Maybe they'll invoke a Freebird rule here and Bronson will get
Yeah.
a tag team championship due to Logan Paul's continued absence.
Yeah. The best case scenario is if Logan Paul is able to get cleared, and they just have Brian just hand him the tag titles.
Oh man. LA Knight just gets a very small segment backstage with Adam Pearce and tells him that he doesn't want to hear any more complaints. He wants the winner of Roman Reigns versus Penta. Is this foreshadowing, sir, here that Roman Reigns is gonna win his match against Penta?
I think it is. I'm pretty sure that LA Knight versus Penta is not main eventing Money in the Bank.
That would be pretty wild. To have told the story that they've told with LA Knight and Roman Reigns, and all of a sudden really make a left for Albuquerque
Yeah.
and have those two would be pretty strange. And not only are the Usos impatient, evidently it runs in the family. Solo Sikoa also impatient. When LA Knight's like, hey, just give me a little bit of time here. We'll go deal with those clowns, but give me a little bit of time. And Solo didn't want to wait either. Usos didn't want to wait for a fight. Runs in the family. Runs in the family. But then I don't think we saw either of them the rest of the night. So it was a bit of a nothing burger segment.
Right.
Next up, women's Money in the Bank qualifier here. Sol Ruka versus Lyra Valkyria versus Maxine Dupri. Maxine Dupri, definitely the weak link of the Vision here. She ends up coming up short. And we get to see what crazy shenanigans Sol Ruka pulls off in a ladder match.
Yeah, this was for this situation was made for her. She'll definitely get to impress in that environment. And bearing the lead here a bit, because Sol Ruka only winning because Bayley
Oh.
returns to cost Lyra Valkyria her shot at Money in the Bank.
It really was burying the lead, especially since I feel like someone was saying that Mercedes Moné was playing Bayley's entrance music as of recently as a
What she was
DJ.
doing. Yes, she did. Yes.
It feels like there was a lot of speculation that Bayley was bound to be out of there. I don't know if this officially confirms that she re-signed because I mean, there hasn't been news out there that she has officially re-signed. Has there been that I possibly have missed?
There's some mixed information about that. Some Meltzer is saying she's re-signed. PW Insider is saying she has not yet re-signed, I believe is where we're at right now. And that she has can still
Well,
that her current deal still has considerable time left on it, even though the earlier reports were that it was up in the fall.
I mean, yeah, that's kind of, oh, Jesus Christ.
That's an important detail.
Okay. Yeah, those are two very just very drastically different situations. If
Yes,
she's
there
still
is.
signed for multiple years, then what Mercedes was doing was just silly, and I don't know if she's just feeding into what little wrestling
Yeah,
hype
I
there is
don't.
around it.
This is I'm more willing to believe the Meltzer camp. And then when these things happens, eventually Sean Ross Sapp is going to have to come, get away from trying to have a wrestling career himself or whatever the hell it is he does to report out one way or the other who's right here.
Oh man, I feel like he is really gotten skipped in the algorithm as of recently for some reason or another. Maybe it's just less time on there is killing it. So yeah, one way or the other, Bailey definitely shows back up and is at least going to have another feud with Lyra. It's kind of an interesting situation that both of themselves find themselves in. It still feels like a treadmill of a feud that with neither woman going anywhere.
Yeah, it does. It does feel like that, yeah. But
'Cause
for
yeah,
Bailey,
like.
if her idea now is just one more contract and then retire to a backstage role or a trainer role, I guess that makes some sense for her.
It definitely depends on what she really wants to make of the rest of her life here. It'd be great. I'd love to see her. I know that she did get that championship win a couple of years ago, but it would be nice to see another one of those things pop up for her. I'm not sure it's in the cards, but we'll find out here. I mean, if she
Yeah.
ends up beating Lyra, that could be the stepping stone to bigger and better things here,
Yeah.
possibly in the future. More Usos and Jacob warning each other. Oh, jeez. Joe Hendry takes on JD McDonagh. These Joe Hendry videos could be the death of me, sir.
It started off promising, and
They have not
then
been good.
no, it started off promising, and then we get the Funko Pop. That's the punchline.
Yeah,
Really?
the punchline is an advertisement.
It is. Yes, and then this leads to the JD
Just
McDonagh Joe Hendry match that has. This started us on just a cavalcade of stupid bad finishes. The image of Javon Evans in that Funko Pop headbutting Dominic Mysterio is one of those things that just I don't want to say anything is too stupid for wrestling, but the way they presented this, the way they did this, it was just too stupid to be funny.
it was not a great presentation. I will definitely say that. Like,
And where?
there was just,
Nah.
just, it just feels like they're trying to force something, and
Yeah. We
they're
know this guy
not
has a big
listening to the
head,
crowd.
and it feels like they went with the worst possible. Again, it's the worst possible punchline for a gag like that. There are a lot of funnier directions they could have gone, and they didn't. And another question is, where has Big Cass been these last couple of weeks?
He
He was
gets
feuding
the
with. Go ahead.
he gets the segment, the
Oh, that's right. He didn't get a
one
segment.
recorded segment. I've been
Yes, oh, that's right. I
stacking
forgot about it.
bodies ever since I came back, and I'm like, you have stacked a body, kind of,
Two.
sort of.
I think the other one was Dragon Lee.
Oh,
So it's
okay.
Javon Evans and
Fair.
Dragon Lee, but yeah, wait, yeah,
That is fair.
only two bodies. And I thought because the stories were interlands were intersecting, we were building towards Big Cass joining the Judgment Day as their new heavy, which would actually be a good role for him.
They're all. Yeah, they need a men's heavy.
They do.
It could work out pretty well if they decide to go that route. I'm not sure that they will, probably won't, but he seems to be his own entity at this point, so I
And what an
know
entity that is. Wow. Really worth bringing
that
him back.
much. Yeah, they are doing a whole lot of nothing with him. Whole lot of nothing. Don't really get what they're doing with that. I do get what they're doing here. Becky Lynch wandering around backstage. She happens upon Liv Morgan, and they have something of a one-sided showdown with Liv Morgan taunting Becky Lynch. While Becky Lynch looks very angry and doesn't really do a whole lot about it in the moment.
No, not in the moment, because we have to
So,
have the match between Liv Morgan and Stephanie McCair,
Stephanie
which
Vicaro.
has the most predictable finish you could ever imagine. Just no creativity at all. It's the same damn thing every time. Roxanne gets the distraction. And then Raquel knocks someone off the top rope. They literally, it's always somebody on the top rope getting knocked off the top rope by Raquel.
It is wild how many times that's happened.
But
Other than a lot.
at least they added the wrinkle of this time of Roxanne throwing the belt in the ring to Liv, which brought out Becky Lynch, who took out Raquel. Then she chases Roxanne through the crowd to the back. And for some reason, even though the interfering parties have all been removed from the equation, the referee has decided to yell at, "Where are you going? Where are you going?" at these people who aren't supposed to be at ringside anyway, as they're leaving, so that Liv Morgan can bonk Stephanie McCair in the head with a belt and then hit Oblivion for the win. This was a terrible finish. Like, there is no excuse for this referee's behavior.
It's been really the refereeing in the WWE has caught up to and or surpassed the incompetence of AEW referees.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
And this was definitely a prime example. Why he didn't enter, I mean, he really should have disqualified Liv Morgan the moment he saw, because, I mean, this is one of the rare times they actually caught Raquel Rodriguez on the apron.
Yeah.
And not just after she had jumped down and is like, I didn't touch her. Like she didn't really have an excuse. And yeah, really needed to just DQ the thing and go from there. I just, oh yeah, it like you said, to start this whole thing off, this just really started a rough ending to the night. I mean, I already talked about not really liking the car thing. That did not help. Because yeah, the big cast segment was the next one.
Yeah, I completely forgot about that one. Easy to forget.
And then yeah, it was just the end segment. So I mean, yeah, the end of Raw was rough between that just like you said, predictable match ending. Yeah, it feels like we're extending this feud for reasons I don't completely understand,
Well, we still
or
need to get the true. Oh, what feud? The women's feud?
well, but
Well, we gotta get the
yeah,
triple threat.
it yeah, yeah. It just feels like they're taking a really, really long way to get around to that
Oh, they
triple
absolutely
threat.
are, because it's probably going to be until Money in the Bank at this point.
Oh, jeez. Jeez, Louise. So, yeah, I mean, it's been something here, this past week in WWE TV.
Yeah, not completely loving it, but looking forward to getting in front of that Mexico City crowd. I think that will elevate things tremendously for this slate of shows.
Yes, and they have definitely, as we've I think already mentioned, they have a lot of good matchups slated for Mexico City, both on Raw and on SmackDown. So
Yeah.
we shall see how things go in a little more lively environment than we've gotten the last few weeks here. Anything else to talk about before we mosey on out of here, sir?
Now we good to go.
Previous travel beer from a couple of years ago here. I figured, oh, I should probably get some of these out of the fridge here. This one's from Cova Brewing, Aloha State of Mind. It is a passion fruit hibiscus ghost, and these guys are in Norfolk, Virginia. They fed me and gave me good beer when I had a delayed flight many a year ago at this point. When I've gone down to that neck of the woods, I have stopped in at their brewery because I enjoy the pour for yourself style. They just have taps on the wall and you get a credit card and you just pour for yourself.
Yeah, done.
Enjoy that kind of vibe, and they have very good
Yeah.
beer. This is a good, if you like the sour beers, it's a nice light kind of summer beer. Yeah, I have also been finishing off some summer beers around these parts to maybe make room for some darker beers that are just around the corner here. And some Oktoberfest beers. It is
Ooh,
September,
yes.
baby. Oktoberfest beers are way to go here.
Yep. Looking forward to some
So,
Oktoberfest beers this weekend and going to at least one place with the tap on a wall that's here.
nice. Very nice. At DeFranco 11 for the first Beltane beer suggestion. The general consensus Oktoberfest beers, two thumbs up. You know what? The brand says two thumbs up. So that is at Stunt Granny. Rate and review us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Download us at other places like YouTube Music and iHeartRadio. Have a good night, grandkids.
Later.